عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأولاده أجمعين، وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, a youngster asked me yesterday, he may have seen the notice on the masjid board, what are you going to speak about today? So I told him, I'll give you a surprise. Nonetheless, I've been thinking about a suitable topic. He gave me a warning, don't speak about COVID. So I told him, no, rest assured, we won't speak anything to do with the COVID. There's no need to depress anybody. People are very depressed. People are despondent. And the more we read, the more despondent we become about it as well. We should be positive as a mu'min. We should have a positive outlook to life. And we must give off positivity as well as believers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair in the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is always there for us in every condition. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And who's entitled to the help of Allah? The believers. So today I'm going to speak on a topic which is not a bayan, but rather a discussion on the life of a personality who has had a great impact on us, even though many of us may not realize. And all the people sitting here with white hair, grey hair, they will understand or resonate with what I'm going to speak about. And I just want to discuss very briefly the life of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji Rahmatullah Ali, and the lessons we can draw from this great personality, this visionary. Now, our youngsters may not know who he is, even though they have been impacted so greatly by this personality. And the foundation that he laid in this country, and especially in this province of Natal, the foundation of Deenul Islam that he laid here, it's unsurpassed by any other personality perhaps. Let's see the lessons that we can draw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam in the Quran Majid and other personalities. But what is the reason for it? Is it just for storytelling? لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٍ لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the stories in the Quran. Man by nature likes stories. It's the nature of man that man likes stories. Story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, Dhul Qarnayn. So man by nature likes stories, history. But the intention in the Quran and Majid is that we draw ibrah, we draw lessons from these stories. So there are lessons in the stories of our great personalities, awliya Allah as well, our mashayikh, our asatidha, their lives. If we can take the good from their lives and draw lessons, and how we can implement them in our own lives. So a very important aspect is that the history of our great akabirin mustn't be forgotten. While we know much about the history of many things, but the history of the pioneers of deen, especially in contemporary times and in recent times, and especially more so in our city of Durban and in our province of Natal, this history must not be eroded in the hearts and minds of our youth. So I thought that perhaps this is a good sabak for myself, and a good discussion, and I'm sure many elderly people here are reminiscing on the lives of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali and their great interaction with him as well. Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was born in 1925 in Amzinto. You see, many great people are born in Amzinto. Mr. Salihji will get very happy. So even Hazrat Hajibai Padia Rahmatullah Ali was born in Amzinto as well. And many other great people have been born in that little town. Even though they say you put brakes at the entrance, you'll come out at the exit. But nonetheless, he was born there, and subsequently he was brought up in Durban, in the Savile Street area, next adjacent to the West Street Masjid. So Maulana spent his early childhood in the Durban CBD, and he attended the Pine Street Madrasa, Anjuman Islam Madrasa, that most people used to attend in those days. And he went to about standard 2 or so in, as far as his secular education goes. When he was 7 years old, he lost his mother to tuberculosis, and his mother left behind 9 children. And Maulana was the 7th of the 9 children. When he reached, he was extremely naughty, by the way. Maulana was a very naughty child as well. And when somebody used to ask him, then Maulana, it's told that you were very naughty. He says, I don't remember all that. So Maulana had a very good sense of humor as well. And he could interact with people of all ages, whether professional, not professional, people who were ordinary laborers, customers. He had this unique nature of relating to people of every age group and educational background as well. A certain medical specialist once had the, was feeling very intimidated to go meet him, but after having met him, he says he felt so comfortable speaking to Maulana, and he was astounded at his knowledge, medical knowledge. He was an avid reader. If one went to see him, then one will see that he's surrounded by books, books and books and books. He could never put down books. This was one of his passions, reading. So at the age of 10, his father decided that his father came to South Africa at the turn of the century, looking for better prospects, as most people came from, especially from the Gujarat area. They came to look for greener pastures. There was a huge drought, long drought in Gujarat at that time. So his father was one of those people who came at the turn of the last century and established himself in Durban. When Maulana reached the age of 10, his father decided to ship him off to India, to Jam. There were no ulama. There were no ulama in Durban. Hazrat Sufi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came around 1895 and passed away around 1910. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. But there were no ulama who could impart dini knowledge. There was some miyaji somewhere, some pious person, some imamji, but there were no ulama in Durban. The ulama came subsequently. So around 1935, his father sends him off to Jamia Husseiniya in Randher. When the business people came to know that his father, Haji Ismail Umarji, is intending to send his young son to India, they got very upset. They came to Maulana's father and explained to him that don't send your son. We business people don't send our children to become ulama. Ye to zakat ka hai. He'll end up eating zakat money. In other words, he'll end up in poverty. This was the reasoning. But Maulana's father had made up his mind that this child of mine, I'm going to send him for higher Islamic education. And there was a reason for this. Maulana's father was a student of Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarwi, rahmatullah alayhi. Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarwi was an Afghani. He made hijrah from Afghanistan into Gujarat. When he came to Gujarat, he went to Tadkeshwar, a very well-known place, Tadkeshwar. And when he came to Tadkeshwar, he was a great alim. They say he was a giant of knowledge. When he was came to this town of Tadkeshwar, there was a person there, Miyaji Musaji, very great Allahwala. He's buried just outside Tadkeshwar. When you go to Tadkeshwar, just prior to entering the town, his qabr is there as well. Simple. He told him that, listen, don't go to Tadkeshwar. There's a need for somebody in Kator. Kator is a village of about 40 to 50,000 people. Small little dusty village. There's a need there. There's no alim in that village. Or in that town, as we will say. So Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarwi went, and around the year 1889, that he established the first Darul Ulum in Gujarat, in Kator. Many people are not aware of this history, but the first Darul Ulum in Gujarat was in Kator, in this town of Kator. And Maulana continued teaching. Maulana Umarji's father was one of the students of Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarwi. He wasn't doing the alim course, but one of his madrasa students. And he made an intention that one of my children, I will name him after my ustad. So Maulana Umarji rahmatullah alayhi was named Abdul Haq after the ustad of his father, Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarwi. And I'll tell you later how history takes a turn and how coincidental it is as well. Anyway, he was sent to Jamia Husseiniya in Randir. He spent about 5 years there learning his elementary Islamic education. He also became Hafidhul Quran in Jamia Husseiniya in Randir. Around the year 1940 or so, while World War II was on, his father decided that he now needs to go to Darul Ulum Dioband, that mother of all madrasas in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. There is not a country in the world that one will go to that you will not find a graduate of Darul Ulum Dioband. Darul Ulum Dioband is the first structured madrasa in the entire Indo-Pak subcontinent. And all our madaris that we see here today, whether it's Darul Ulum in Newcastle, or whether it's Isipingo or Camperdown, it's the child of Darul Ulum Dioband. It's the progeny of Darul Ulum Dioband. So Maulana was sent there, and he spent from 1940 to 1951 in Dioband. In 15 years, he never came back to South Africa even once. Not once. 15 years, one hit, he was studying there. And he studied under great personalities. Maulana I'zaz Ali, Sheikh al-Hadith, Maulana Fakhruddin Saab, Maulana Qari Tayyab Saab. Qari Tayyab Saab was the principal of Dioband for 50 years. Can we see in history where a man is the principal of an institution for 50 years? One man as a principal. From a young man till he became elderly, he remained the principal of Darul Ulum Dioband. And he was one of the asatiyat of Hazrat Maulana. But the cherry on the top was none other than Sayyid Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. That was his main ustad, ustad of Bukhari Sharif. That was also his murshid and his sheikh. And Maulana benefited immensely from the personality of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. Now, to explain in this short time who Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani is, it won't do justice. Perhaps another Jummah where Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani can just be discussed alone. Nonetheless, his father wants him to come back. He's 25 years of age already. He's not married. And his father has this desire that his son now must come back to South Africa and benefit the people. That was the whole intention of sending his son, young son. And look at the period of absence, 15 years from this country. Maulana couldn't speak a word of English when he came back. And he arrives on the shores. His father sent his sister and brother-in-law that go bring him back from Dioband. And bring him, because he spent 1 year in the khidmat as khadim-e-khas of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi. So nonetheless, he comes back in 1951 to South Africa. En route to South Africa on the ship, he made 4 du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted 3 du'as but did not accept 1 du'a in his wisdom. The first du'a that he made, that I am very jalali. I'm a very jalali person. To describe to the younger people, Hazrat Maulana's physique, he was a very tall person. Very, very well built, wrestler kind of built in his young days. Very strikingly handsome person, very handsome person. And he had an awe about him as well. So the first dua he made, oh Allah, I've got such jalal in me. Cool me. I'm so strong-headed that cool me down so that I can work with people. I can work with the community I'm going back to. He says, Allah accepted that dua. When I landed in Durban, when the ship landed in Durban, that Jalal had become Jamal. The second dua he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, the year Hajj becomes fard on me. That very year you take me for Hajj. Don't delay my Hajj. And this is an important lesson for us, that we must never delay our Hajj. If everything is in place, we understand the restrictions, we understand the quota system, but there must be a desire and a tamanna and a niyyah to go for Hajj. So, the year that Hajj, because we know the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person who's on whom Hajj is fard, and everything is available to him, the means to, the safety of passage, and he doesn't go for Hajj, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't care whether he dies as a Jew or a Christian also. So this is the fear. So let us make an intention. Oh, young men sitting in this congregation, that make your desire to go for Hajj, discharge this important obligation of Deen, this pillar of Islam. The third dua he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, Ya Allah, in my life, never give a situation where I will pay a penny or a cent of riba interest, or I will take a cent of interest. He says, Alhamdulillah, I've reached close to 80 years of age. I haven't paid a cent of interest in my life. And I haven't received a cent of interest in my life. Such pure income produces such personalities. If you look at all the Ahlullah, the importance of the purity of their income, the effects of the purity of their income, the source of their income. A person who pays riba, he's under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's on war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the third. Allah accepted their dua. He says, even I built a big house because of hosting so many thousands of people with the mihman of Hazrat Maulana. One of his qualities was his hospitality. That hundreds of people come, eat, he's at his home, go from his home. And never was there a complaint. The fourth dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept in his wisdom. He says, I must never become muhtaj on makhluq. Allah in his wisdom, muhtaj means dependent. Dependent on makhluq, on the creation of Allah. He says, I became sick in old age. And his part of his foot was amputated due to diabetes as well. And due to old age and sickness, he says, I had to take loans from people. So that dependency, that dua wasn't accepted in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time doesn't permit to go into much, but there's so much of information to share. There are so many qualities to learn, and the contribution, this you get individuals. In 100 years from today, none of us will be alive. Hardly anyone, or nobody rather, it is a possibility of us being alive 100 years from today. We'll be forgotten. We'll be part of history. If our grandchildren and our great children even remember us and make dua for us, as ghanimat. That's ghanimat. That's why I always advise people, make your own investments. Don't depend on your children. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, don't depend on anybody. Kisi ke ummeed mat rakhna. Kisi par bharosa mat rakhna. Don't depend on somebody else. Do what you have to do for yourself. Make your own investments for your akhirat. Invest in yourself. When you are lying in the qabr there, when you can't speak, you are below the earth. At least your investments will pay off there if nobody remembers you on earth. When last have we made dua for our great-grandfather? Great-grandfather. And his father. The people who brought Islam to us. Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Ali used to make one qurbani every year for an unknown person. He used to make this niyat of qurbani, Ya Allah, the first person in my ancestry who brought Islam. Because of him I became a Muslim. Oh Allah, this qurbani is for that unknown individual in my ancestry who brought Iman first. What an intention. I mean, to think of something like that. Something that we won't even cross our minds. That I'm making a qurbani for this person, because of him Islam came to me. So, none of us may be remembered. But some people are remembered for their contribution, not only to deen, but to the sciences, to medicine, to literature, to humanities, whatever it is. People are remembered. Their theories are remembered. We remember Newton for his theory, for example. Or we remember somebody for their contribution. Or their philanthropy. But Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, his legacy must never die. The contribution in this country is so immense that he paved the way for a multitude of ulama to come into this country. And the deen we are seeing in this country today, Islam is flourishing in this country. And we do not realize how lucky and fortunate we are in this country for what we have. Travel the world and go see Muslim countries. Go see Muslim countries. And then we will realize what we have in this country. We were once doing relief work in Syria, just on the border of Turkey. And we go in Ramadan to the masjid, hoping that at iftar time, we will meet our brothers. And big Jamia masjid, beautiful masjid. When we go to the masjid at Maghrib time, this masjid is locked. Not because of COVID. Masjid is locked. So we went to the muazzin to ask him that the masjid is locked. He says, yeah, you must come back Isha time. Maghrib time, nobody will be here. Now this is just jahalat. When you read Quran Sharif in some of these countries, people crowd round you. be so fascinated by the sound of Quran. Do we realize what we have here? Anyway, my time is up and we have to stick to time. It's a very important lesson from the life of Maulana Umarji. I just want to end off on this note. Two things before I wrap up, in a minute inshallah. He passed away in 2003. He had just given a bayan to the Asatiza in Jamia Haqqaniya in Qatar, the madrasa that he re-established. He just gave a bayan to the teachers. He came to get ready for Salatul Jumu'ah to go give the bayan, the Jumu'ah bayan, at the age of 80. He served the deen of Allah till the last breath that left his body. He just got ready to leave, and at that time the Jumu'ah adhan went, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him into his mercy at that time. Passed away between two bayans. At the time of Jumu'ah, when the Jumu'ah adhan was being called, and we know the virtues of dying on the day of Friday. If that is not a sign of qubuliyat and maqbuliyat, what is then? The second thing I want to see, there's a book written on his life. It's called Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Umarji, His Life and Mission. So I've just given you a teaser or a taste of what's written in this book. And I will implore that our people don't read anymore. The elderly, the only people who read are over 35s or over 40s maybe. And that to be lucky. But here's a sabak in his life. Very brief, something for us to cherish, and what he has done for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to take lessons from the life of our akabirin, to value them, to make dua for them, those who are living to appreciate them. It's not that when they pass away now we cry, but when they are living let us appreciate them and take their benefit also.